B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon.
E-class.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, as promised, right back to your phones here on Felger and Maserati. Patriots still winging on the baseball last night. If you want, like, for example, Tom in Arizona. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, hey, I agree with Murray 110%. I hate the Dodgers. I hate Dave Roberts. And when I saw them keep Joe Kelly in for a second inning, I said, oh, this is going to be it. This is going to be it. But, Mike, I did read an article this morning that Roberts blames himself for keeping Joe Kelly in, and he claims that because his workload has been so light, he felt he could go a second inning. Now, whether that's analytics or not, I don't know.
Okay, so I think he covers. Who knows? But my guess is that he covers. And the quote I heard from Roberts is, if you want to blame someone, you can blame me.
Yeah.
Which is different than saying,
that's on me.
That was my decision. Did he ever say that?
No, but he did say, you know, my thinking was. That's what he said. But yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I just believe that the matchups are in the binder. And they put it through the Trackman and the Statcast, and they say this is a good matchup for us because of this guy's swing path and our pitcher's spin rate. And this is, if this comes up, this is a matchup we want.
He was covering for the servers behind the dugout.
I mean, that's what I think.
So, look, I in this day and age, it's hard to, when you read that Red Sox story the other day, I don't know how you come out of it feeling any other thing.
I mean, that's the whole point. The game plan is the matchups we want because of what these pitches do against this guy's swing. And that's it.
So here's, if they were to fire Roberts this week, would you change your mind?
No, they may fire him anyway because they got
someone's going to be a scapegoat.
Yeah, exactly. Someone's going to take the fall for this.
I mean, that team is uncanny. How many times they get into the playoffs?
I'll give credit to their soft-ass fans. Did you hear how they booed him when he finally went out and took Kelly out? It was kind of awesome. It was like, ooh, they are paying attention.
Oh, I love Dodgers pain. I love it. I love seeing the Dodgers suffer.
Sean and Marlboro, give me a Patriots thought.
I got one, but really quick, I think the baseball nerds have to come up with the SFR, the sphincter factor ratio. I think that's what you guys are looking for. So I called about this football stat that you guys can talk about. Only one team in the last, I think it's 20 years, has won a Super Bowl with an all-pro wide receiver on their roster. Now, if you took the Pats out, like, is it a Pats, Brady, Belichick just as a team? Or, like, I don't know why that is, but they just divas and they ruin the team. But it's something to talk about.
There's no question, Sean. It's something along the lines of that other stat. The last quarterback to win an MVP and a Super Bowl in the same year was, like, 20 years ago or something. Mm-hmm. It was Kurt Warner in 99.
Sounds right.
Something like that. There's, like, another stat like that, which is counterintuitive. In other words, you want your quarterback to play as well as he possibly can and to have as good as players as you possibly can at every position. So why would you not want an all-pro receiver? Why would you not want an MVP quarterback? It doesn't make any sense. But it's something along the lines of what Maz always talks about, which is if that's your identity and that's what you become, just slinging it all over the yard or just you're trying to feed a receiver or something, you become a little more beatable and you're a little less balanced or something like that. I think there's a lesson in there somewhere.
Yeah, I think it makes you, I want to say, easier to defend because you just cut the head off the snake. Like, again, if you're going against a team that has a quarterback who's an MVP, you minimize the quarterback. How are they going to beat you? They can't. So you got to have a defense or you got to have a running game or there's got to be somewhere. The quarterback alone is not enough. As great as Brady is or as great as Manning was in his prime, I think there's a clear pattern in history of that, especially in New England.
But the receiver thing, I think, is totally cause and effect. I think you get one of those receivers that he needs the ball. You feel you need to feed him the ball. That is the offense. He's such a great player. You've got to get him involved. And so you are committed to getting him the ball, and it's too easy to defend. You can take out a receiver. And I think that's why those kind of offenses, including yours in 2007, get shut down. more often than not, by someone eventually in the playoffs. It's just sort of the way it works. And it's not even really pass-run balance. It's just where you spread the ball and how you play offense. The Patriots have won plenty of championships with crappy running backs and no real running game because Brady, you know, heretofore previously would spread the ball and he'd be a balanced passing attack, not about one guy. When it was about one guy, you got your ass shut down.
Usually right.
So I think there is something to that. Wayne in Yarmouth, go ahead.
Well, you guys captured a lot of Roberts. Unfortunately, I've been a Dodger fan for some 60 years now. He's an emotionless deadbeat. He's only a button pusher. He cannot override anything in an in-game situation where it takes some thoughtful background information based on the player impact that the situation calls for. And I'll tell you, because he's just one of these who wants to get along with the players and become a PR director, I think you got the seeds of the same damn thing in Cora coming through.
So,
I really do.
I think both are generally, I think most, you know, I think most modern managers have the three-ring binder in their dugout. The players have the laminated things in their back pocket, and the game plans and the approaches are all mapped out beforehand.
Isn't it brutal?
And I think the managers are just there to make nice to the players and keep up chemistry and care, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, it's not the manager's fault. That, I mean, they're hired to do what they do. They're asked to massage the egos. So when the caller sounded agitated that, you know, Roberts just wants to befriend the players and
that's what they want out of the manager.
That's exactly what they want.
And it's a useless job now.
Like it is, Mark.
It is.
Yeah. In fact, really, when you look at it. Now, look, I mean, there's something to be said for the people skills, I guess, right? If the players like Roberts and they'll play for him and they're comfortable, will they perform? Sure. Over the long haul? Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean.
There's truth to that.
But the job is motivating the team or individual players, like Cora's relationship with some of the Latino players that you've mentioned many times.
Tremendous.
And he's gotten more out of these players. There's real value there. But it's not about, you know, we want this pitcher against that hitter. That is determined by Carmine in the middle of the room.
Yeah, and it just doesn't exist anymore. It doesn't. It's really kind of sad.
No question.
Because those were always the best managers, right? You know, the Earl Weavers and the Sparky Andersons and the guys who had a real feel for the game that could look at a situation and say, you know what? This guy's got good stuff, but he's a wuss. So I'm getting him out of there because I don't like him in this spot, and I'm going with this guy because he's got balls. Right, you just those moves aren't made anymore.
Cole in the van. Go ahead, Cole. What do you got for us on the Patriots?
Yeah, I just wanted to see what you guys think about with Odell being on the trade block now with the Browns. Belichick already took a run at him before. Would that be, you know, something that would do again?
Cole, when did Belichick take a run at Odell Beckham?
Well, it was rumors with the Giants and stuff, you know, when the Giants were looking to shop him. You know, it was out there that, you know, Belichick was interested.
Okay. Yeah, would they go after him again? Look, if they were willing to bring in that cretin, Antonio Brown, if they were willing to lower themselves and do that, then they'll certainly do Odell Beckham. I mean, right? If you're willing to lie down with that dog, you'll lie down with any dog.
Unless you think the player's overrated. Right, like Antonio Brown elite footwork.
Right. So
you know what I mean?
Right, so if they did it, it'd be a football decision, not a nonsense decision.
Exactly, right. I think, I mean, again, you know, I don't think that they would go have any doubt about his character after Antonio Brown. How
right,
could you?
Exactly.
You made this point about Brown, and his footwork, off the charts.
Unbelievable.
There isn't another guy in the league like that, I don't think. I'd have to really think about it, but so few guys just move the way he moves. It's like he's a different kind of animal. So to me, it would be football related. It wouldn't be character related.
I would not be surprised one bit if they were in on him. If they were in on Stephon Diggs. I think they're in on all these guys. What the report? OJ Howard, that they're in on the tight end there in Tampa Bay. I think they're in on it. I think they're willing to trade that first round pick. I think they're willing to give Brady what he wants, and they're trying. I think they've tried. They drafted a receiver in the first round and brought in just about the worst guy in the league in Antonio Brown. So you think they're not trying?
And so if the asking price is a little more, they should be aggressive because their lack of aggressiveness cost them in the offseason with guys like Cole Beasley and Adam Humphries and the uncertainty if Gronk was coming back or was going to retire. So they lost out on, was it Reed? The tight end that ended up with the New Orleans
Jared Cook.
Jared Cook, that's what it was. Yeah, Jared Cook. So, yeah, if they're going to have to overpay.
Casey in Maine with another thought along these lines. Go ahead, Casey.
Hey, so if you look at what the Patriots currently have for weapons, you've got the backs, you have Larry and Moe at tight end, and then you have Edelman and Gordon, who looks slower than death out there now. What I think A.J. Green could possibly do for you is be a guy that can give you at least the threat of taking the top off the defense and therefore give the guys who are, you know, for the short game underneath more room to work and open things up for Brady so he can use all his weapons.
Okay, Casey, on paper, yes. Let me make a prediction because I know Jimmy Stewart demands predictions. A.J. Green would be a disaster here. He would not work here. It wouldn't work. It wouldn't work. He is a downfield threat that just wants to run down the field. He is not a precise route runner. Furthermore, in Cincinnati, as we found out from Ocho Cinco, they have a totally different kind of system based on numbers versus letters. And those guys, those receivers, when they come here, their head is spinning, apparently. Okay? So A.J. Green would have to, first of all, he doesn't run routes the way Tom Brady likes him to. He'd have to figure out the offense, which I think would be a long shot. He's a Bengal, for crying out loud.
And comfortable with it. That, to me, is the biggest red flag.
Wouldn't work.
There's some quote from him that popped up in the last week.
Oh, Larry Fitzgerald?
Yeah, that he wants to retire a Bengal.
Who's like, ever said that?
Oh,
in their
my
life?
God.
Like,
that just reeks, Lewis. That reeks to me. He might as well say, I don't want to be challenged. I'm comfortable in mediocrity. Like, that's a bad thing to say.
Mediocrity? I'm comfortable in suckitude. Like, seriously.
No, he's worried about his legacy as a Bengal. I've heard people talk about this. Like, whoever says that?
Oh, I know. The great city of Cincinnati.
I'd like to go down as one of the great Bengals of all time. Who's ever said that?
Yeah. My God. It really, really does mean something to me to have my place in Bengals.
Seriously. No, A.J. Green, no, 1,000 times no. No. But something tells me they might, because they're going to do something. And if that's the only thing available, maybe it is. Yes, Jimmy?
Adam Schefter just tweeted that the Bengals head coach said on an A.J. Green trade, quote, I hear a lot of speculation on him. We are not trading that guy, unquote.
Okay, good. Keep him. You all can have your little A.J. Green party there in Cincinnati. Enjoy it all the way to 2-14.
So I wonder if they would still give up a first for a receiver on top of it, the more that I think about it. Because if you go back and look at the timeline, right? In theory, we're talking about pre-draft. The league year starts in March. Free agency starts. Guys are being moved and traded. All that happens then. So if they were willing to move a first-round pick then, fine. But then they drafted a guy in the first round.
Yeah.
So the point is, are you going to give up effectively 2 first-round picks for a wide receiver? Because you drafted Harry. Now you're going to give up another one for another receiver?
That's a good point.
I doubt that they would. The more I think about it, I'm not sure they'll go that way.
Quick, Gary and Bill Ricca on Gronkowski. Go ahead, Gary.
Yes, how are you?
Good.
Trevor and Matt. It's my first time calling it.
Welcome in.
And I just want to say one thing. My mom, who's almost 80 years old, is a big fan. I'm just going to get right to my call. I want to know why you guys think Gronk is going to be such a bad announcer. First of all, I'll say, Felga and Mass, have you ever got a contract from Dunkin' Donuts? Second of all, have you invested in the LA franchise? Third of all, are you a...
Wait, no, I'm not gonna let you get to three. I could barely hear you. Two, I think, was, have we signed a contract with Dunkin' Donuts?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, and the station
ever,
has.
There's a station that we do the commercial advertisements.
The other one was, have you ever owned a franchise?
Have we ever do a piece of the L.A. Chargers franchise?
No.
Or any kind of franchise.
A Dunkin' franchise.
No.
You know.
But is she trying to call us up for conflict of interest?
I don't know, maybe.
It's called a paid advertisement.
Yeah.
That's what we're being paid to talk about Dunkin' Donuts, even though we drink it on our own anyway.
Yeah, I mean, if he's accusing me of, you know, being bought, guilty.
Dunkin' Donuts has bought us. It is true.
Yeah, no question about it. But now that said,
his comment line, though,
I am a hardcore consumer.
His comment line said, Gronkowski is a good analyst, to which I'll say, I think he could be too. This is what my beef would be against what I think Fox is going to do with him, which is have him shotgun a beer and take the shirt off and spike something, which I think they want to turn him they're going to accentuate the clownish part of his personality. Well, I'm telling you, I think he could actually tell you something about the game and what's going on the field, which is all I care about. And I'd like to see them do that with him.
Can't you just see, though, how that job interview or production meeting went? We just want you to be Gronk. That's what we want. We want you to be Gronk.
And be sure that shirt's tear away.
Yeah.
We want you to rip it off.
Exactly.
No, Gronk, you do what you have to do, but we'll have a tall boy beer and a breakaway gear for you ready if you want it.
Right. Just be you. Bring the funny. Any 69 jokes you want to make, if you hear about yardage 69, either on the ground or in the air, you just laugh it up.
And if you want Velcro sleeves, we can get you those too.
Continue with your thoughts. 617-779-0985. Couple open lines. Also coming up next, Thursday Night Football in general. How do we feel about the product? That's right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Nas on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Boston's home for sports.
Generic question for the panel. Start with you, Maz.
Yeah.
Do you like Thursday Night Football?
Yeah, I don't mind it, actually. I've come around on it a little bit. The games were so bad at one point that I just wasn't ready for it. The whole thing sucked, I thought. I wasn't ready to watch it. The games were terrible. Now, though, I feel like it is getting better. Yeah. And so I don't... Now, this game tonight is going to be a dog, I think. But overall... Do I anticipate the Thursday game every week now? I do.
I don't. I mean, I watch it. They got me over a barrel, so I'm going to be there regardless, even if it's Titans-Jags. But let me ask you both this. All right, so you've had two good games in a row, but going back over the last just few years, how many memorable Thursday night games can you talk about?
So individually, I can't give them to you off the top of my head. Just talk to me generically. Do you like Thursday night football?
I don't. I think it's typically a bad product. Out of the whole slate, you maybe get one or two really good, compelling games in a year. So last year, the Chiefs-Chargers game in December, amazing.
Oh, Chargers, that was a good one, yeah.
That one was awesome. Rams-Vikings earlier in the year. The last two that you've had, the Seahawks game last week and then the Packers-Eagles game a couple of weeks ago, great, good product, compelling games. But those, to me, are the anomalies because more often than not, you're looking at 30-10, 20-7 type games. It's a slog. I do think it's unfair for the players. I don't like it, but they still got me. I'm going to watch regardless because it's football.
Okay, I think it's improved. I'm with Maz. I used to rail against this product. I thought it was what Mark Cuban was talking about with, pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. It was just too much. Why do I always get the name of that GD game show?
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire on Five Nights a Week? It's so annoying. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? They put on Five Nights a Week, right?
Yeah.
And kill the thing. Or American Idol. Like, don't they put on multiple nights a week and kill the thing? So that's what I think Mark Cuban was talking about. And Thursday Night Football used to be the perfect example. Too many nights of football. And, remember the quality of the broadcast used to blow? It just used to be on NFL Network. A lot of the systems didn't carry it, and they had all these battles over carrying the game.
Yeah.
Like, you remember when Bryant Gumbel used to do the games and the sound quality sucked and it felt like cable access? Like, the whole product was
bad.
Horrible.
Bad.
They gave you the worst matchups with the worst broadcasters. They did not put enough money into it. Cable systems wouldn't cover it. Like, the thing I thought used to be just an abomination. Now, I feel like they've improved the matchups. It's on all your... Everyone gets it. They bring in the big guns, Aikman and Buck tonight on Fox, So, like, the whole thing, I think, is improved, and it's better. So, I think it's okay, and I don't hate it like I used to. But, to this point, the matchups, because the key really is the quality of the matchup.
I was just about to say this, so go ahead.
So, I've got the 15 Thursday night games this year, both the five that have already been played and the 11 coming up. I'm going to give you the matchup, and we do the three-man vote, whether it's a good game or not. And don't ask me what criteria, just whatever criteria you want.
All right. You're anticipating your question for me?
Well, does that mean, Mike, that we're getting... No, however you want to answer it.
Would I watch it?
Good game or not? Compelling or not? The one thing I would say is, like, give some deference for it's potentially compelling, right? Yeah, so the games in week 15, 16, 17 might end up to suck, but right now, potentially, is that a game you might be interested in? So, good game or not? Week one, Green Bay, Chicago.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Agreed. Week two, Tampa, Carolina.
No.
No.
I'd say yes.
You're out. Nope. Two to one, you're out.
Based on what I know now, yes.
No. Week three, Tennessee, Jacksonville.
No.
No.
No. Week four, Philly, Green Bay.
Yes.
Yes. Week five, Rams, Seattle.
Yes.
Yes. Tonight, Giants, Patriots.
No.
No. No. Agreed. Week seven, KC, Denver.
Yes.
No.
No. Week eight, Washington, Minnesota.
No.
No. Week nine, San Francisco, Arizona.
No.
No.
I was willing to go yes there.
Arizona's garbage.
I agree. They blow.
The number one overall pick.
Ugh.
So what?
Week 10, Chargers, Raiders.
Yes.
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 Good rivalry there.
Week 11, Pittsburgh, Cleveland.
Yes. No.
No. Week 12, Indy, Houston.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Week 13, New Orleans, Atlanta. That's the Thanksgiving night game. New Orleans, Atlanta.
No.
No.
No. Week 14, Dallas, Chicago.
Yes.
No.
Yes. That's a yes. Dallas and a playoff team. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. That's a yes, Murray. You're wrong.
Both those teams suck.
You're wrong. Last week, Dallas was only one of three good teams. Now they suck and they're unwatchable.
Yeah, had an epiphany.
Week 15, Jets, Baltimore.
Please. No.
No.
No. Okay. So you gave me yes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 of the 15 were good matchups. The rest not. It's not enough, is there?
No. You got to have more than 50%. And so,
can I do the same thing for you on Monday Night Football?
So I was just going to say the Monday night schedule is garbage too, by the way.
It might actually be worse.
This is what I did today.
Go ahead. The Sunday night one is the only one that consistently is a good matchup, but
so,
go ahead.
Only 6 of 15 on Thursday night were worthwhile. 6 of 15. Let's do it on Monday night. There's 16 of these games because there were, there's 16 weeks. There's 17 games because the first Monday night has two of them.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you the whole Monday night slate. So it's actually 17 games. How many of the 17 are worthwhile? Week one, Houston, New Orleans.
Yes.
Yes. Week one, Denver Raiders.
Yes.
Yes.
No, but I lose. Yes?
I mean, because it's week one.
I always think Denver's worthwhile, especially if the game's in Denver.
Wow. Week two, Cleveland Jets.
No, no. God, no. Please, God. Eh.
Week three, Chicago, Washington.
No.
No.
No. Week four, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh.
No.
No. Week five, Cleveland Niners, the game we just saw.
Yeah.
When they drew it up.
When they drew it up, yes.
Yes. Okay, turned into nothing, but I'll give them that one. Week six, Detroit, Green Bay.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
I hate the Lions.
Week seven, Patriots, Jets.
No.
No.
Any AFC East game that they put on Thursday night, Sunday night, or Monday night?
Garbage.
Should kiss the underside of your ass, your tuchus. What are they doing?
Should be censored.
You are asking for a complete useless blowout in primetime. Patriots against another team? Maybe. The Patriots against the AFC East?
That's a waste of everyone's time.
Should never be in one of these national spots, ever. Patriots, Jets, week seven? No. Week eight, Miami, Pittsburgh.
Oh,
no.
Holy crap.
No, God, no.
Week 9, Dallas Giants.
No.
No. Week 10, Seattle Niners.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Week 11, KC Chargers.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Week 12, Baltimore Rams.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Week 13, Minneapolis. What is it, the Minneapolis Lakers, Felger? The Minnesota Vikings, Seattle Seahawks in week 13.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. Yes. Week 14, Giants, Philly.
No.
No.
Week 15, Indy, New Orleans.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Week 16, Green Bay, Minnesota.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd watch
that. I'll give that a yes. I think the division matchups they have to be careful about. What are the odds that there are two good teams in every division? Now that I think about it, they should be careful about too many intra-division games.
But this is sounding better than I thought it was.
Way better. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 of the 17 are watchable.
Pretty good.
So better than Thursday. Better than Thursday. Do you like this exercise or is it annoying?
No, I like this kind of crap.
Because I have the Sunday night schedule if anyone wants to do it.
Yeah,
okay, sure. So Sunday's going to be a whopper in favor. Go ahead.
And this gets different because they can flex out now starting in November. You're not going to see some of these, and that's the value of Sunday night football. But
I like this game.
Okay, let's keep playing it quickly. Sunday Night Football, Week One. Pittsburgh, New England.
Yes.
Yes. Even though it was a crap game.
Okay, I would have gone no, but that's
but
a yes.
But going in, I was yes.
Week two, Philly, Atlanta.
No.
But Atlanta no. Blows. Anytime there's Atlanta in that spot, no, Murray. Atlanta no. Blows. No.
Week two, we didn't know they were going
to be
crap yet.
Atlanta, no.
They're bad.
No. Week three, Rams, Cleveland.
No.
No.
No. Okay. You want to give me Niners, Cleveland on a Monday night against Garoppolo? I gave that a yes, but Sunday night? No. Week four, Dallas, New Orleans.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Week five, Indy, KC.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Week six, Pittsburgh Chargers. That's what this week's game is.
No.
No.
No. Week seven, Philly, Dallas.
Yes.
Yes, but week eight.
What but? Philly, Dallas, a good game.
I just, I hate the interdivision, as I just sort of mentioned to you.
Yeah, that's a good game, though.
Week eight, Green Bay, KC.
Ooh, yes. Yeah.
Big fat yes. Week nine, Patriots, Baltimore.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Week 10, Minnesota, Dallas.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Week 11, Chicago, Rams.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. You're out, Murray. Week 12, Seattle, Philadelphia.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep. Week 13, Patriots, Houston.
Yes.
Yes.
No.
Oh, you're wrong.
No.
You couldn't be more wrong.
They shouldn't have done that.
Boo. You're so wrong
here. They should have done that. They're going to win by 40 points. Houston, Houston is a dud of a team, and that's a dud of a game.
Might be the third best team in the conference.
Feh. That's a yes because you outvoted me.
Correct. You lose.
Week 14, Seattle Rams.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Week 15, Minnesota against the Chargers.
Yes.
I say no.
No. I'll give you a no, too. Those are two middler teams that are destined to not be good. That's a that has flex written
right,
all
flex
over
that
it.
Out.
And they when they did that on purpose. They're like, you know what? We're gonna this is what they call a placeholder. Minnesota Chargers, Week 16, KC Chicago.
Yes,
yes,
no.
Yes.
Chicago sucks.
Good defense.
Good defense. They're going to be
Chiefs
there.
Offense. Good game.
Good game. So there were 16 of those. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 of the 16.
I'm not surprised. That's the game. That's the primetime game to play.
I want to make a bet on that last one that gets flexed out.
Sunday, 12 of the 16. Monday, 10 of the 17.
So it's a very easy explanation.
Thursday night, 6 of 15. The Thursday night slate sucks.
Yeah,
it sucks again. It sucks.
You know why?
Why?
Because everybody has to play a Thursday night game.
And you get it, man. You get that right in your kisser.
Yeah, everyone has to be there. Sunday night game, you're not going to get some crap bag team on Sunday night.
Does everyone, because Miami doesn't have a Thursday night game. Maybe they play on Thanksgiving. Maybe they play one of the earlier games on Thanksgiving.
Everyone's got to play that game.
They don't have the Thursday night package game.
Yeah.
They don't. But anyway, so there's that. How do you feel about Thursday night football? There's things that I really don't like about it, but there's one that, if I'm being totally honest, I just don't care about. The big complaint about Thursday night football, there's one I don't care about. I'll tell you that right after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Filger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Player safety, player health. This doesn't fit into that as far as I'm concerned. And I know we've had a lot of discussions about it as a union. And I know it's a good product as far as the consumers are concerned and the fans enjoy these Thursday night products, but you know, I think when you talk about the rigors of playing in an NFL game and then what it takes to recover and be able to do it again the following week, to do a Sunday to Thursday turnaround is it's tough, and it doesn't fit under the umbrella of player safety as far as I'm concerned. So but you guys know that I've said that every year.
All right, that's Matt Slater on Thursday Night Football, and that's, if I'm being honest, and it makes me a bad person, I'm just being honest. And if you're being honest, you should acknowledge it. It's bad for player safety. Do you care?
I mean, I agree with it.
I agree with it, too.
They're 100% right.
They're right, I think.
I mean, so I thought about this today.
And but do you really care? Is that why? I don't like Thursday Night Football because it's bad for the players. Do you really think that way?
No. You know what the bottom line is? football is bad for player safety.
Thank you.
So the game in and of itself is inherently risky. It's dangerous. And so, and we all watch it. We love it. So I'd be lying to you if I told you that, oh my God, I can't believe they do. The fact that they're out there slamming their heads into one another anyway.
I just heard a little bit of moralizing from that. Oh, it's bad for the players. The league talks about player safety, and yet they make them play on Thursday night. Do you, Joe Fan, really?
No, do I really care at my core? I don't. I think that they're not.
If you really cared, Maz is right. You wouldn't watch the sport.
Oh, yeah. So, no, I don't. Ultimately, I really don't care about anything like that. But I think the fact that they're not recovered as much as they would be even on a Sunday, and even that's a bit of a stretch, but they, you know, the Sunday to the Monday or the Sunday to Sunday, I think that they got to play just a handful of days. Like, that's why it contributes often to a bad product. These guys either are held out or they're too beat up, so they don't play as many snaps. I think that that contributes to some of these games being bad. I do.
I think there is, I mean, obviously, there's a little bit, but I think that angle's overrated. Of course it has an impact. You're not going to be as fresh on Thursday as you are on Sunday, and if you have a minor injury, you're less likely to play, so obviously. But I think a much bigger issue with Thursday Night Football is the quality of the competition. I've watched plenty of Thursday Night games where both teams were invested and had something to play, and it's a real football game. There's no difference.
The last two have been great.
The last two that I've watched, Packers-Philly and
Rams-Seahawks.
Rams-Seahawks were legit real. You couldn't tell the difference whether that was Thursday night, Sunday afternoon, or Sunday night, or Monday night. That was a real football game because there were two good teams with something to play for. And I think if you got more of that on Thursday, you'd get better football games. I think the big thing is either one team's in and one team's out, or they both blow and they have nothing to play for. And now you add on, it's Thursday and not Sunday, and they're nagging injuries. And now it's like, well, F this. League's making me do this, and we're not playing for anything. So now, then you get the real bad football. But as long as both teams are good and have something to play for, I think the product's just fine.
I'll tell you what, though. If I'm the players, I pound it every chance I get. I would. I would do exactly what Matthew Slater did. Because if the owners are going to use, you know, Article 46 as a bargaining chip come negotiating time, then I'm going to bitch about everything that that affects my life on a day-to-day basis if I'm them, even if I don't believe it.
Right.
So I think Matt Slater would probably ultimately agree that, yeah, it sucks. We get through it. We get through it. And so, you know, you end up getting 10 days off after it. So there's a plus on that side of it, you know, and when it's a big game, we're ready to go. Right. Fine. But you know what? I would still let the owners know how much I hate it.
Sure.
I would absolutely
use it as a fake chip like they have fake chips.
Exactly. That's what I mean.
Marijuana testing.
That's what I mean.
Article 46.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Pound it into the ground. Let them know every. Oh, you want to expand to 18 games? What? Can we get rid of Thursday night then? Can we do that? Like, get something out of it. Get something, because the big problem is the matchups.
Biggest problem with tonight's game is that the Giants blow. That's by far the biggest problem, not the fact that they played 4 days ago.
See, I was under the impression, Murray, that every team had to play on Thursday night. I thought that that was like a thing.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
No, rule is I believe every team has to have a primetime game.
Okay. So I thought it was that everyone had to have that Thursday night game somewhere in there. And I, you know, to me, that's why you get all the crappy games. You know what? I got to watch the you know, I'm using.
Well, but they're judicious about it. The Packers have two, but they put them on that opening night game. But I think most teams have one. And so there's 14 of them. If you take out the opening night, there's 14 of them. And so 28 of the 32 are generally, you know, so I think that's the way it goes.
Yeah. What I mean by Thursday night is the short week, right? The opener, there's no short week. So I thought everybody had to have that short week. And so clearly I'm not right about that. But to me, that's a big reason why you get the suck product on Thursday.
Okay, I promise. Your phones, also a league thought from Maz, and we'll reset what we're looking for tonight. I promise right to you and those items after these words.
I'll tell you what, though. If I'm the players, I pound it every chance I get.
You're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sport.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Jones takes the snap, back to throw, steps up, he's going to run. Jones to the five, touchdown Giants! Daniel Jones on a 7-yard run on a 4th and 5 from the 7. And the Giants have tied it up with 1:16 to go.
So that was a Daniel Jones touchdown run in Tampa that gave him the win. Extra point gave him a win. This kind of ties into so we set our game thoughts here and a league thought from Maz, and it kind of ties in here with Daniel Jones. What is it, Maz?
Okay, so that is that in the last few weeks, I've actually been reasonably encouraged about the direction the whole thing has gone into. I think there's some really good stories around the league. I keep saying Indianapolis over and over again after losing Luck to start the year. So they've been there for a while. But if you go with rookie slash backup quarterbacks, just these teams, the Saints are 3-0 with Bridgewater. The Panthers are 3-0 with Kyle Allen. The Colts, since the beginning of the year, 3-2. They're a contender in the conference. The Giants are 2-1 with Daniel Jones. And the Jags are 2-1 with Gardner Minshew, right? And I would go so far as to say the Jags are 2-1. Their loss was to Kyle Allen. So you're guaranteed of a loss there either way.
Yes, sir.
Even Pittsburgh. Like, you look at Pittsburgh, you say Roethlisberger went down, they were 0-4. Three games now with Rudolph starting, they're 1-2, and the two losses are a 3-point loss in overtime and 24-20 at San Francisco, who's unbeaten.
Both those games they easily could have won, but they put the ball on the ground in the last moments of the game.
And they were extremely competitive games.
They should have won both of them.
Right. In fact, I would go so far as to say, you know, if you're a viewer or a fan, it's a good game to watch. Both games were good games to watch. And now they might have been sloppy or whatever, but they were highly competitive, right? No blowouts. When you add all of those together, I mean, that's pretty good. You're talking 13-5 if I eliminate the game where you're guaranteed a loss. 13-5 with those guys at quarterback, that's pretty good. Like, I think that Carolina story, that's almost as good a story as what's going on in Indianapolis. Cam Newton goes down. He can't throw anymore. They bring this kid into the offense. They go 3-0. They might be better with Allen at quarterback over Cam Newton. That is a great story.
It's huge. Those backups and maybe some coach, you know, add in coaching. Add in Sean Payton in New Orleans. Add in Frank Reich in Indianapolis. Do I have to give Ron Rivera in Carolina credit?
Yes.
Two-time coach of the year.
Why he's 3-0 with a backup quarterback.
Yeah. You do. You got to give him credit, of course.
Anyone who wins with a backup quarterback, I'm going to give credit.
You know who their offensive coordinator is, too?
Oh, God, I do. Say it.
Norv Turner.
I was just right. Yeah. Norv Turner.
I knew it was an established guy. Yeah. Credit to all of them.
I mean, that's good stuff, man. That is. I admit, the new quarterback thing is appealing to me. What's this kid got? Let's see. Can he play?
Go ahead. But the same thing with Minshew, too. Like, don't overlook that one, because I think Marone's mostly a moron. The defense actually kind of sucks. Ramsey wants out in the worst possible way and just keeps coming up with excuses not to play. And the kid looks like the real deal. He's throwing close to 70. He's completing like close to 70% of his passes. They were in that game last week, had a chance to win it. Like, they're putting out a competitive product because they hit on this 6th-round draft pick.
I mean, those are teams that had to fight for their seasons because their quarterback went down, and in many cases, they started out winless. And they've turned it around. Like, those are good stories.
Okay, so we continue with your thoughts. We'll reset our game thoughts here coming up at the top of the hour. Joey in Brookline, though. What do you got, Joey?
So one of the things I wanted to talk about specifically, you know, I think that with this Thursday night game thing, really I think what it goes to also, it's actually like caused the Monday night game to get worse. Look at the first 9 weeks of Monday night football schedule. They've been awful. All the Monday night games for the most part have been trash and will continue to be trash. It's almost like the league is actively just trying to pump up the Thursday night product to the detriment of the Monday night product. So if I'm the players going to the CBA, I might bring that up and say, hey, do we really need the Monday night game?
Okay, so, and I'm just going to cut you off. Do you really need the Monday night game? That's such an established night. It's been since, whatever, 1970? What was the first one?
But he asked a good... I mean, it is such a brand now that they won't get rid of it.
And it's another TV contract to sell, but...
He's right.
They have porked ESPN at the behest or at, you know, at they've pumped up the Thursday night game because of the Fox affiliation at the expense of ESPN on Monday night.
Yes. Definitely. That thing's not what it was when I was a kid.
Not even close.
No, not to mention Sunday night. They made Sunday night the premium game and all the others suffered. Like, that's the game
Sunday
now.
Night's great, yeah.
I mean,
the whole production of it, I love, you know.
So this week, again, is Detroit-Green Bay. I'll give you that a grudging yes. They're both good. They just ended up good. I think they were playing with fire there by scheduling that. But the next three after that, Pats-Jets will not be a game. The week after that, Miami-Pittsburgh.
The league should step in.
Woof. I mean, woof.
Stink bomb.
And then Dallas Giants.
Miami, Pittsburgh in prime time. That's not even right. Like, you shouldn't do that.
Joe and Stoneham. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Tony, Mike, and Jim. Get rid of Thursday night football. No good. And I didn't even like Monday night football. Football should be played on Sunday only.
Okay, Joe. Old school. Those days, I'm sorry. Those days are never coming back. They can sell to... So what they do, they can spread it out to four or five different networks. They're going to make more money. They're not going to dial it back, which is why, like, all these conversations we have about contracting seasons, you know, they should play 148 in baseball or...
Oh, none of that's ever going to happen.
They got to take money back off the table and give money back, including the players giving money back. Never going to happen.
I'll tell you, I wonder about baseball. I do. I think...
Well, they won't give any money back.
No, they won't give money back. But
they'll play 148, but the players aren't—they're going to take the same revenue.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see the schedule getting trimmed though, in lieu of something else. Like that, I can see that one happen. 162 is too many.
No, it's really? Too many. Oh, you think?
By about 100.
617-779-0985. Cope open lines if you want to grab them. Mike in the truck on Rob Gronkowski as an analyst. Yes, Mike.
Yeah, I was going to say. Normally, I'd say you could never convert Gronkowski into a broadcaster, but then again, Zolak's got a job, so.
Is that your take?
Well.
Okay, I'm going to let you go.
No, let's take shots at Zolak.
No, I mean, we could. I have no problem doing that. But maybe that's a decent comp, okay? Or just work with me. There is a comp in that Zoe is sort of a buffoon. I mean, let's just call it for what it is. Big, lovable goof. In game?
Excellent.
The guy is unbelievable. He's terrific.
Excellent.
I mean, and I say that with, I'm not just pumping a teammate or anything like that. When they do these Do Your Job specials and these NFL Network specials at the end of the year and they play the Sports Hub replay, the reason they do it is because Zoe is on it. Like, he calls it. The Malcolm Butler interception, he called it before the snap. Pass. It's a pass. And he does it routinely. Zoe is exceptional. He's, you know, he'll spend 4 hours a day making fart noises in his armpit and scratching his ass, right? And just bouncing around the stadium, the studio like a buffoon. And then he'll get in a game and he's on it. He nails it. Okay? He nails it. He's exceptional.
I'm chuckling because, as the caller said,
hey, accept it! Are you kidding me?
I have described Zoe to people as our Gronk.
Okay, but really,
his in-game stuff's nails.
When you deserve an interception,
when you give him a chance to actually look at the game and give you the game, it's tremendous. And if they gave Gronkowski the same opportunity, I think there's a chance you'd get the same. We view him as this buffoon who just wants to make fart noises in his armpit, but. I bet you he could give you, if they use him that way, he could give you real insight.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, football is that sport, too, where there's more value in that than any other because it's so complex, right? You have so many moving parts that I think Romo does the same sort of thing now. Like, as much as I dumped on Romo at the beginning.
No, he's terrific, but he doesn't, you didn't view him as a goofball going into
that
thing.
Right, yeah, that's right. But Zoe, in-game, Zoe's excellent. The in-game stuff, really terrific.
Okay, so I hope they use Gronkowski that way. Maybe we see a side we're not expecting. And you can catch Zoe on the call tonight at 8:30, 8:20 kick. Is that what
8:20,
time? Yeah. It kicks at 8:20 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. The pregame starts at 5:30. So Felger and Maz have you covered up until 5:30. It's the pregame show. What we're looking for tonight with your phone calls. Right after Murray's 90-second update, there are no commercials here.
It's got to be one of the dumbest calls offensively in Super Bowl.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.